Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is mayoral candidate Carolyn McLaughlin, and she's going to talk about a few issues, two of them being the Palace Theater and Frank Camisso Jr. jumping into the race. So let's start out with Camisso. What's your take on it? Since you and him are the only declared candidates so far, how do you think that's going to play out right now?
Well, you know, his getting in the race is no surprise, so it's not like, you know, we've been startled by anything. I think that, you know, people will have an opportunity. Those who are going to support me are going to support me. Those who are going to support him are going to do the same. We do still, I think there's still a number of people who haven't made up their mind yet and still waiting to see what the total field is going to look like. But, you know, based on my research, you know, whatever the field looks like, you know, I anticipate winning. So it doesn't change anything for me. That's what I guess that's the best answer I can give you.
Now, as of right now, like you said, there's only the two of you. Do you anticipate other candidates jumping into the race?
Well, I have to anticipate the mayor coming in, you know, the incumbent. I have to anticipate that she will come into the race. And and to be honest with you, all along we've anticipated the mayor being in there and the possibility of a third candidate. So we have been developing a strategy based on either way, whether it's a two-way or a three-way. You know, we still have, you know, when you do your work, you do your homework, you got to look at it from all angles. And we've looked at it from a two-way versus a three-way.
Okay. Now, I've spoken to a lot of, not a lot of people, but some people, and the contention is, well, I'm going to go with Carolyn McLaughlin because she's a woman and she's a black woman. In the city of Albany, how important is gender and racial politics?
Well, I think once you look at a person's qualifications and their experience, I think then you can look at the gender and the race. But I think most people in Albany are intelligent voters, and I'd like to think that they are. I have a lot of faith in the electorate in Albany, and I think they've done what we're going through. They're looking for somebody who has experience. And then if she happens to be me, being a woman and a person of color, you know, they get everything they want. They get experience, they get a woman, and they get a person of color. So to me, that's a very positive thing. And I do think in this, with a city that is growing as diverse as ours is, we're fortunate that we have somebody who is qualified and meets all that criteria for people.
Okay. There's been, this week was the week that the Common Council, this past week, the Common Council decided on the Palace Theater. And it was sold for $750,000. Are you happy with the outcome of the Palace Theater?
Well, let me correct you. First of all, it hasn't been sold for $750,000. There's been an agreement. The legislation that was passed was an agreement to sell the Palace Theater to the Palace Board. What is still being worked out are the finances. That was one of the stipulations in the legislation that was passed, stating that there will be opportunity to revisit the price. There will be opportunity to ensure that community benefits are included in whatever contract is drawn up, that we look at MWBE issues, we look at employment issues, that we look at how this is going to affect the neighborhood, that we have conversation with the Timbrook Neighborhood Association and the Arbor Hill Neighborhood Association, and that the council will have the opportunity to review any contract before it is signed by the city and or the palace. So it has not, that $750,000 number, while that is what they offered, it is not cast in stone at this time.
Okay, so it's still up for negotiation is what you're telling me.
Yes, I am, and we will be having conversation with them this week because they are interested in moving forward because they want to get moving on their fundraising efforts. They have individuals that are waiting to work with them to raise the money to complete this major project that they have on the table.
Okay, so to say you're happy with it is not really a valid question right now because it hasn't been finalized, right?
No, it hasn't. But what I am happy with is that the Palace Board was agreeable to many of the conditions, to all of the conditions that were presented by the Common Council. Because initially what came to us did not include community benefits agreement, did not include reconsideration of the price, did not include anything around NWBE that came from the council. So what I am pleased that they are open to that discussion. I want people to understand the Palace Theater is not going anywhere. It's always going to be an asset to the city. And what I believe that this project and its completion, now this, and you have to understand that what's going to go on with the Palace, this is a 6 to 8 year project, but there are some immediate needs that the Palace has that the board will be able to undertake. And, I'm excited about that. The Palace will be there. This will be able to continue to enable them to continue to offer cultural opportunities for our city, but also expand on the opportunities that we'll be able to use the Palace Theater. If you've ever taken a tour, as you know, the auditorium is absolutely beautiful. But if you go into the inner parts of the theater, it needs work, and it costs money to get that work done, and they are about getting that done, and I'm excited about that.
Now, one of the things that's been very controversial in the Palace Theater negotiations is the fact that Mayor Sheehan is on the board of the Palace Theater and also the mayor of the city. Do you think that's a conflict of interest?
Well, I think the conflict of interest comes, I think it could, yes. And I raised this question in that she's a non-voting member of the board, but she had to be in the room when the initial proposal was submitted. That's where the problem lies. But I think what we've been able to do in ensuing conversations with the board, with the council, and the planning committee, we have been able to make adjustments to what was initially proposed. So that sort of, to me, that gave the council an opportunity to weigh in and speak on behalf of the people of the city. Whereas if it were just pushed down our throats, what was initially put before us, I would say that there really was a problem and that we did not participate in that discussion and the mayor may or may not have been in the room when this stuff was presented. And so, yes, I too had concerns with that. But some of those concerns have been addressed by the opportunities that I, along with every other council member, have had multiple opportunities to interact with the board and iron out solutions.
This is the first time you're running for mayor, and you've run for Common Council president a couple of times,
yes.
And that's a citywide office also. Do you think running for mayor is more difficult than running for a city council president?
Well, when I think back to what occurred when I ran for city council president the first time, it was the biggest adjustment I've ever had in my life, going from a council position to just a ward to citywide. It was a major adjustment. But I do believe now running for mayor, we have to even go to another level with our campaigning, and that's what we're prepared to do. It's a big leap, but we know where we have to go. It takes just as many votes to become president as it does to become mayor. So we know that we have to go out there and do the work. And I have always, I'm known to be a arduous campaigner. I don't shy away from the rain, hail, sleet, or snow. I'm out there doing it, meeting the people, and that's what we plan to do to be successful again this year on a citywide race.
As you go along and you talk to the people in the city of Albany, has your perspective on the issues changed at all?
Well, in some regards, yes, because my eyes have been opened up on a lot of issues that people have. Granted, we do know that the budget is probably something that is foremost on taxpayers' minds, and as it should be, because we need to have a strong tax base in order for our city to operate. That's where the operating funds come from. But I also know that there's other things that play into people being satisfied with their city. And I'm telling you, I have learned a lot. Our millennial community is very concerned about having access to opportunity for home ownership as well as business opportunity in our city. Our seniors, as well as new homeowners, again, the millennials, are concerned about the high level of taxes in our city, and they are concerned about affordable housing. From one, as a city that is growing more and more diverse culturally and ethnically, people are concerned about equity in our city. And when I talk about equity, I'm talking about equity from a standpoint for everyone. We have to make sure any decisions that are made in this city are made from an equity standpoint. And I'm not talking just about racial equity. How do these decisions made that are being made, how do they affect children? How do they affect seniors? How do they affect businesses? How do they affect the minority community? How do they affect the poor? How do they affect those that are the highest paid taxpayers in this city, tax-paying people in this city? So when you talk about equity, I'm not talking about some social program. I am talking about our decisions being made, taking into account everyone that lives in this city. And that's the approach that I will take. So these are the kinds of things that have been my eyes have been enlightened to. And another thing that I'm finding particularly important, that there is a segment of millennials of color in this city that are concerned about their social opportunities in the city. When I mean that, they have no clubs. Their entertainment is limited. So they are concerned about having opportunities to be entertained within our city, and that's something that we need to address. Some of them have come to me with the concern that they believe there are two systems in place in terms of who can have a party, who can open a business, who can open a bar, who can open a club. And we need to address that to ensure that everyone who is a tax-paying resident, who is a resident, whether they're a property owner or not, but someone who has decided to live in the city of Albany, they can also live, work, and play in the city of Albany as well as anybody else. So these are some of the issues that have really my eyes have been open to. Also, in terms of culturally, we have a large Muslim community in our city, and there are some issues that they have that we have to be careful that we address as well. So, yes, the short answer is yes, my eyes have been open to a number of things, and we know that there's a multitude of issues that people are concerned about. And I believe that I'm a person that is willing to get to around the table with people to address all of these issues in a manner that shows people that we have concern that everybody in the city of Albany matters.
I created Focus on Albany a little over 4 years ago, and it's been my honor to talk about issues that are important to the people in the city, county, and state. As a servant of the people, with my internet radio show, from your perspective, how can I better serve the community, and how can I better serve the candidates that are running for mayor this year?
Well, see, what I think is happening, and just by the mere fact that you have such a diverse mix of people that are running, you're going to have people, I'm telling you, I've heard of the candidate field for all offices is not going to be lacking a large number of people, I'm telling you. So you will have the opportunity, I think, to share the voice of these people across the community. And just by the fact that you have interviewed me several times, and I look forward to continuing these conversations with you, so you are now going to be reaching a different segment of people in the community, because I do share your link with the people who I am attached with on Twitter and Facebook. So your listeners have now been expanded. So I think that as long as you continue to open up your show to all of the candidates, I think that you will be doing a service to the candidates as well as to the residents of Albany by giving them another venue for hearing what candidates have to say.
Now, you ran for your first citywide office 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Since then, has the population in the city of Albany increased or decreased, and why?
Well, we fell below 100,000 in the last census. We're like 97.6, something like that. So, and some of that, I believe, it did have to do with the fact that our taxes, people are moving out of the city of Albany. They can't afford the taxes. And one thing we cannot do, we cannot put a burden on our people anymore. We've got to find different ways to help them stay in the city of Albany. Also, I think another reason that people moved out are they're not satisfied with our educate school district. So people are concerned about their children getting prepared for their future. So one of the things that we want to be an active participant in is to continue to make sure that our school district makes an improvement. We cannot afford to sit on the sidelines. We have to be an active participant in the discussions that are going on within our school district. And the first thing we can do with that is be a part of this year, I think there will be two members that will be up for reelection and or new members that can be elected to the school board. So we have to be vigilant and trying to get the right people on that board. We're also in the process of selecting a new school superintendent. We have to be an active participant in those discussions. So to me, it's the taxes, the school district, and people are just, I think those are the two main reasons why people have chosen to move out of the city. But also we got to do something to shore up our neighborhoods. And right now, I believe that there are great opportunities for people to buy up property and that can be rehab, but we have to make sure they have access to funding because rehab is not cheap. It's very expensive, but we have some neighborhoods that are ripe for this development, and I think that we need to make sure that we seek out as many resources as we can. We're going to be in a trying time this year because the new federal administration, presidential administration, has cut HUD, and it's through HUD that we get a lot of money as it relates to neighborhood improvements. So, you know, we've got to be vigilant and make sure that our neighborhoods don't deteriorate further, because those funds that normally come in to help rebuild the neighborhood may not be flowing in the way that we are used to them flowing. Community development block grant money and other housing improvement money that helps our seniors shore up their homes and other individuals who want to buy property and rehab it. So we got to be ever vigilant to look on the federal level, the county, and the state level to help our city thrive. We don't want to take a step backwards. We want to. Our job is to look forward and to improve things in our city, and that's what we're going to do. This whole affordable housing piece is very important. And again, as I say, when I talk about affordable housing, it's not low-income housing. This is housing from that person who may be in public housing, but it also leads to me. I need affordable housing, and I don't qualify for public housing.
What's the status of the $12.5 million?
Well, as you know, the mayor has a campaign going on now to asking people to participate in getting our voices heard. This is something that I advocated for a while ago, that we all should be involved in addressing the issue of getting funds from the legislature and from the government. So we all have to do our part. I'm doing my part, having conversations with people in the legislature, and hopefully trying to get as close to the governor as possible with those conversations and the speaker to let them to tell our story. And that's what we're asking everybody to do. So at this point, your guess is about as good as mine as to whether we're going to get that money or not. But I do say that there is a all-out effort, or all-out push to get everyone to get on board to help us get them.
Now, let's say we don't get all of the $12.5 million. How would that affect the race for mayor in the city of Albany?
Well, you know, I think, I don't know if you can say how it's affected. Well, you say if you get it, how's it going to affect it, as well as if you don't get it. I think the issues are the same, because you're not looking for a one-year deal. You're not looking for an idea of trying to move stuff just for today. We need long-term fixes. And as I stated before, the legislature is not the only source for funding in this city of Albany. There are a number of other entities. Why aren't we looking greater at the SUNY Poly, that $25 to $35 billion operation up there on Fuller Road? And in the last 3 years, they've given us $1.5 million. $12.5 million is a drop in the bucket in a $25 billion operation. Why are we looking more there? When you've got an entity that is authorized as tax exempt, but at the same time, they have private entities doing research out there that are paying a fee. Why can't we get some more help from them? And I believe that there's other opportunities to grow that support from there. So I think even while we're looking to the governor, we need to be looking elsewhere to get funds. And so those are some tracks that I will be going down. There are other things that we should be looking at as it relates to finding revenue for the city. The governor's office is not the only funding stream that we should be looking at.
So as the race evolves, the conversation will continue. Do you have any closing thoughts, Carolyn?
Well, I just want to, you know, I remain excited and vigilant about the race and what it holds for us down the next 6 months. I believe, and then in the end, people will have will be able to make a clear distinction between whoever is in the race, and ultimately, I am confident that they will select me to vote for and to be the next mayor of Albany. So I look forward to continuing the dialogue.
Thank you, Carolyn, and we'll talk again. You've been listening to mayoral candidate Carolyn McLaughlin on Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. Carolyn, thank you. Have a great day. Continue good luck, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, and remember, the power is in the people. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.